For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Buying pants shouldn't take this much effort. Too many options, inconsistent sizing, and styles that don't work across your day. You want something comfortable, sharp, and reliable without guessing, returning, or buying five different pairs. That's why there's Jack Archer.
Yes, jackarcher.com simplifies everything with the Jet Setter Tech Pant, one versatile pair designed to take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Easy to wear, easy to style, and easy to shop for. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. They stretch, breathe, and hold their shape, giving you a consistent fit and polished look every time. Backed by thousands of five-star reviews, they're the dependable pants you'll reach for daily.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Welcome, welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
You were doing really good. Mom was proud of you. You managed to get kicked out earlier this month. Our little group of buddies and you know, childhood friends, they're always, hey, Aaron's doing good. He's not getting kicked out. And I said, well, it'll eventually, he'll find a way. So you got kicked out once for a balk. But on a serious note, this ABS system and what you've seen so far, I was very interested to see when it came to fruition, how it was going to be reaction. I went to one game this year. I went to a Padre game the other night and I got to, you know, be at a game in person. And the APS, when they pop their helmet, I mean, they play the music and it's like doom, 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 doom. And then it comes up and you know, it's a ball or a strike. These fans really get into it. And it's like, they're on the edge of their seat. I think they've done a really good job with the time frame they keep it in, the 4 or 5 seconds. I think it's been really cool for the game. And I think, you know, the ABS, I think it's going to go to the robotic umpires. And at this stage, I'm actually for it. From a hitter's perspective and pitchers, we know exactly what a strike is and a ball is every night once they get this technology down and perfect. But I'm pretty happy with it so far from the entertainment value. I think it's been really good. But I'm interested to know on the inside, do you have a strategy? First of all, do you like it? Do you not like it? And is there a strategy from an organizational point on, all right, how can we benefit the most from a strategic standpoint on using our two appeals or our two challenges?
Yeah, I mean, when I knew it was coming down really at the end of last year, I knew this was probably going to be a reality. I would say, generally speaking, I wasn't in big favor of it just because I thought the consequences, the unintended consequences, like, I mean, you could have rifts in the room, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, a 1-0 pitch in the third inning with no one on. It's like, that being said, I like it more than I expected. I expect us to be good at it. I think it's good for our team overall. And I think it is great entertainment value. There's no denying that. So overall, I like it. We've dug into the strategy a lot, especially this off season and early on in spring training. And I was kind of obsessed with you know, giving feedback and having meetings with our players and stuff. So I'm pretty direct, certainly in spring training, but even now, like if somebody challenges, I will give them my opinion of it. Like, hey, I thought that stunk. Like, why'd you do that? Or, hey, he didn't get this one, but I still thought it was pretty good. Like, I'm really direct about it with our guys. And then one thing we did at the end of spring training, we took about 8 or 10 challenges that came up, whether they were ours or whether they're around the league, and talked through the situation and why this was good, why this was not good, why this was okay in the middle here. So just trying to get our guys to understand leverage and in the moment. It's a new instinct, you know, where you're boom and then you're all of a sudden, and trying to understand, like, okay, this is an important time. Maybe it's the third inning, but it's a first and second, it's a break even pitch, it's a 3-2 pitch that ends in at bat. Like, that is a big moment early in the game. So trying to get our guys to understand that. I haven't forbid our pitchers or said our pitchers are not allowed to challenge. I have strongly said I don't want you to challenge, really, though. Right. Our catchers will handle this. So our pitchers have only challenged a few times, and actually I think two of them were right, so they've been fine. But you know, we're still learning as we go. But I try and, you know, most of them that come up in the course of a game, try and give my feedback to guys on why I thought it was good, bad, and different.
Yeah, I think you might be horrible at it as a player. You're so emotional. It's sorry.
Well, that's the other thing. That's a good point. You know, like, that's one of the things we talked to our pitchers a lot about this spring was, and this is new too. I mean, and I think it goes to the hitters a little bit too, but think about the pitcher. Say it's a big moment in the game. You got a relief pitcher in the game. It's the eighth inning, first and second, two outs. Boom, I get a big strikeout. Yes. You know, and it's like that emotional, got through it. Oh, challenge overturned. How do you handle that?
Yeah.
Like, so that's something we've tried to get out in front of that's new for a pitcher. Like, you know, as players, you have all these things that you got to deal with in the game and kind of reset yourself. This is a new one, though, where they've got to be able to handle all that. But one of the things we've talked to all our guys is, like, as much as we can, let's strip emotion out of it. You know, I'm struggling to throw strikes here. I really wanted this one, an emotional challenge. Or I'm a hitter. Hey, I've been struggling for 2 weeks. I'm back at home. I'm getting booed. And I took a called third strike, and I'm emotional challenge, and now it's doubled down. So trying to get ahead of, like, let's not be emotional. Let's be, like, as much as we can in these situations, kind of robotic. Like, hey, it's a high leverage situation. This is worth the challenge or not.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I think that's a great point. I haven't even thought about that. The emotion that goes behind the challenge loss, or
we know
all, as a hitter, sometimes we're just, and you know, they throw a good pitch and we got away with it, like ball. So we go 3-1 instead of 2-2 or 2-1 instead of 1-2. And then all of a sudden here comes that challenge. You're like, nope, they got me. Even as bad as I'm going, I got a break and I know that's a strike. He just missed it. And yeah, I haven't even thought about that side of the ledger of that pitcher. He's just out there and he's just struggling, and he throws one right on the edge. It's close. And he, thank goodness I got out. Oh, wait a minute. Challenge. I didn't get out of it. Yeah, that's a great point. The only thing, and just the layman in me from not being on the field watching it, is everybody's in the same boat. Everybody's learning at the same pace. But I would just think, you know, I have people ask me all the time, what's, you know, what do you think of the ABS? And I said, well, without being down on the ground, if I'm just have a basic idea of how I think these managers and the staffs are going about it, it's like you, I would guess without me and you ever talking about this, I'd say it's almost like the green light for guys that aren't guys that steal a lot of bases. You got the green light until I take that green light away from you. You know, the second half of my career, the most I ever stole in a season was 16. I had the green light all the time. But I knew if I kind of pushed my luck that green light could be taken away. And I see the same thing. I think the catchers probably have the best perspective. So when your catcher, you know, you probably have the most confidence when a catcher challenges it. Because as hitters, we do get emotions. And even the guys with great eyes, great hitters, I've seen as I've watched, they miss them a lot too. Even the great ones, you think, oh, if he challenges it, he's right. No, he's emotional too.
Yeah, that's a little bit of the myth too, is that, oh, Juan Soto is going to be great at which he might be, but I actually think the guys that everyone kind of knows the strike zone. Some guys are good at not chasing, doesn't mean right. They're great at knowing what's, you know, a tick off. So that's a little bit person to person, player to player.
How do you think the umpires are handled? I would say if I'm an umpire right now, and I've tried to tell people, because of the technology we have, because of everything can be micromanaged down to a centimeter, and they've got you. You can't do anything without knowing exactly. They're really hard on these umpires. Some of these, and I'm seeing by ABS, the umpires are pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. How do you think they're handling this? So I'm thinking if I'm an umpire, this is pretty darn annoying to me, especially if I'm having a rough night and I just keep on getting overturned and overturned. So you hear people say, oh, the umpires like it. They want to get it right. Yeah, they want to get it right, but they don't want to be put on a stage when they're having a bad night. I'd say the umpires aren't liking it. And that's why I think robotic in the future is going to be the way they go. And that takes their feelings out of it.
Yeah. Okay. So part of my reason for not necessarily wanting it at the start, and I understand I'm saying this to you as I'm the poster child of getting on these umpires about balls and strikes. That being said, I've also been very public, and even my conversations with the league and Mike Hill, who oversees the umpires, like the umpires have gotten really, really good in the last 5 years. Like, I feel like Major League Baseball has done a really good job in the last 4 or 5 years of getting the zone more and more uniform and training these guys really well. We're just, because of the technology now, since I've been doing this, I know when you missed one by that much, and I'm going to be all over you for that. But when we played,
was normal.
You missed them by that much. Like,
so, without a doubt.
And you had to adjust to the umpires.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now it got much more uniform. And I actually think this is making it even more so, even more uniform. And I do think that the umpires, there's a part of them that likes it, but I do think there's that part that's like, they don't like to be embarrassed. And sometimes there's those games where you have a few challenges right away that are overturned that affects them a little bit. And I've seen that with a couple of them, even in dealing with them a little bit, but they also understand it's kind of come to this, and it's just the new reality. And I feel like now, even 3 weeks into the season, it's a little bit better and more normal than it was the first week of the season.
Yeah. And it could be both ways too. You know, you got an umpire having a great night and keeps getting challenged, and they keep telling him he's right. So the next time you challenge, he's kind of look at you, how many times you're going to challenge me. Now he's feeling pretty good about himself.
The other thing I've been impressed with in our games anyway, is when we lose a challenge. And one of the things we noticed in the minor leagues, that when, let's say a team last year in AAA, let's say a team, a hitter challenged a strike, challenged and the umpire was right, that zone got a little bit bigger knowing that they were out of challenges. I haven't seen that bias kick in.
No.
In our games anyway, and that's something I've been been kind of excited about and impressed with, honestly, with the umpires so far.
Last thing I'll say about the umpires and what I see, my perspective is, we talk about our day and how you had to adjust to the umpire. That's what it was. And I explain it to people all the time. The good umpires would come in, they'd establish their zone early, and maybe it was two clicks off the outside corner, and he'd probably give you the inside corner. But we were all good with it because we knew exactly what the strike zone was.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.